Well, I count it a great joy that Brother Bo and Sister Mary would ask me to preach this service. I know what a great blessing it is to this church to have this back-to-school bash, that we can gather our children in our church and other children from other churches around and glorify God and worship God together through games and through fun. I believe that Christianity should be fun. We should be joyful in the presence of the Lord. But I just want to thank Brother Mary, Brother Bo and Sister Mary just for their great faithfulness to this church and to this cause of Christ that we are seeking after. They have given me the subject of Colossians 2, verses 6 and 7. So if you wouldn't mind, turn over to the book of Colossians, chapter 2 and verses 6 and 7. And I will read it here in a little bit. But just as kind of an introduction, I've got a couple questions. As you're turning there, when you hear the Word of God preached, and I'm asking everybody this question, what is your reaction to it? When you sit in the pews, or when you're at home and you hear the Word of God preached, how do you react to when you hear the Word of God? Do you bow in worship? Do you give attentiveness to learn and to change things about your life? Do you have the thought, how do I apply this to my life, to my Christian walk? I've got an acronym. Most of you probably already know it, but it's the acronym SPECS, S-P-E-C-S. How we should read our Bible and look into our Bible when we hear it and read it. And if you want to write this down, feel free. It has definitely helped me. This acronym is SPECS. The first letter is S. When you read the Word of God, S, is there a sin to remove or to confess? P, is there a promise to keep? Has God kept a promise to you, or are you to keep a promise to God? E, is there an example to meet or to follow that is set forth in the Word of God? C, is there a command to obey? S, is there a stumbling block that you see in your life that needs to be fixed? And just an exclamation point, is there a verse that you need to remember? This is how we should read and divulge and exposit the Word of God. Or is your reaction, as a lot of church members today, I can't wait to get out of here. I've got better things to do than this. Or, none of this applies to me. I don't even know why I'm here. I'm just here for the water balloons. I hope that is not your reaction to hearing the Word of God taught today. To the Christians here, when you walk out of these doors, do you remember anything that is taught? Would you be able to tell somebody about what you just learned? Would you be able to tell somebody about Jesus Christ? Where I'm going with this is, are you growing as a Christian? Are you daily conforming to the image of Christ? Are you walking out what God has called you to do as a Christian? Are you receptive unto the Holy Spirit's call on your life? Are you saved? Are you fully trusting in Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? That Him and Him alone took your sin and removed it off of you so that one day you will be able to stand before God clean with all your sins taken away. If you are not saved here, I plead with you. Today is a great day to be saved. If you're saved here this morning, this message is for you. But if you're lost here this morning, please don't tune me out. Because today could be the day that the Lord convicts you to repentance and faith in Him. Believe that every time the Word of God is preached. So in our text in the book of Colossians, Paul is writing to this church of Colossae, or the Colossians, and to the church at Laodicea. He was writing from a Roman prison, which he had been in prison for propagating in an illegal religion in their eyes, and to high treason to the Roman government. It is said that Paul had never visited Colossae or Laodicea in his ministry up until this point. But he had heard of these great troubles and trials that these churches were going through. Especially at the Colossian church, it was these outside influences coming in of false teachings, false doctrines, that they were spreading lies into the midst of this otherwise sound church. They were spreading disillusions and degrading the gospel of Jesus Christ, unto which they had learned this point. He was writing this letter as an encouragement to this steadfast and solid church that he has heard about, in a defense to the gospel of Jesus Christ, and to exhort and edify the believers that are there, to counter doctrinal error that had invaded into their church. But more importantly, he wrote this letter to glorify and magnify the person, work, and headship of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is what this book, this letter, is all about. He wanted to show that in verse 114, that we have received redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, that by him all things were created, that he is before all things, and by him all things consist. Chapter 119, that he made peace through his blood of his cross, reconciled all things unto himself. 122, that he will present you holy, unblameable, and unreprovable in his sight. And chapter 2:3, in whom are hid all treasure and wisdom and knowledge. And verse 2:9, chapter 2:9, in him dwelleth the fullness of the Godhead bodily. It is Christ that is the focus. It is Christ and his headship of the church, and that he is the visible symbol of the Godhead on this earth. Saved person, unsaved person, it is all about Christ. There is nothing that you could ever do, and there is nothing that you could ever live up to amount to what he has done and what he is continuing to do as our Lord. That he is Lord over all. That means that he is Lord over you as well, whether you believe it or not. He is the only sovereign, the only supreme creator of all, in whom all authority dwells. The book of Daniel says, and all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing, and doeth according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. And none can stay his hand or say unto him, what doest thou? God is sovereign. It is all about Christ, his majesty, his glory. And we should walk as such if we are believers. Live as such that it is Christ that is above all, even our personal lives, especially our personal lives. For it is not our life, for it is his. How are you growing as a Christian, as a believer in Christ? Are you growing as a Christian, as a believer in Christ? The title of our message today is Growing in Christ. And I'll read our text in Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 and 7. It says, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word. As Christians, we should always be growing in Christ, learning more and more about Jesus. How do we do that? How do we better our lives so that we can better glorify God? If it's not about us, how do we glorify God in our being, in ourself? Well, first of all, I've just got 2 points for you this morning. Just hang on with me for a little bit. Our first point, if we are to better glorify God, if we are better to grow in Christ, we must have a renewed vision. Verse 6, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. Paul is writing personally to these believers at Colossae and at Laodicea, to each of these churches, writing to them, reminding them what it is and who it is that they have received. Ye, personal, to you individually. Take that to ourselves. It is to you individually, personally, but also to the church as a whole, individually to that individual church. As you have received what ye have been taught or what you have learned. Literally in the Greek, it means to take what is given from another. As it is given from somebody, you take that upon yourself. You have been taught. You have received this unto yourself. This is the gospel. This is the gospel of Christ Jesus the Lord. Now, I kind of want to exegete this for a second, because when the Lord revealed this to me, it was so much of a blessing. And I want to share it with you. But in this passage where he says, Christ Jesus, the Lord. This is a very interesting arrangement of the title of our Lord. That it is the only place in the New Testament, it is the only place in the whole Bible that he uses this arrangement, Christ Jesus, the Lord. purposefully, under the Holy Spirit, Paul wrote this in this way because who he was writing to, that the issues and the false teachers that were invading them were denying that Jesus was the Messiah by birth, that he was not deity, that he was not God in flesh. But they were teaching that only when Christ was baptized did he receive the deity, the messiahship, to be called the Messiah, that it left him when he was at Calvary. Now, church, I just want to tell you that this is a dangerous teaching among many others that were facing these Christians then. But also, rest assured that that same teaching among many others are invading our churches today. Don't think for a second that Faith Baptist Church or any other church is going to get away from false teachers if we are not absolutely rooted in Christ. Watch out, church, for what you hear. Watch out for what you read and listen to, because it is easy to fall prey to these false teaching if you are not sound in Christ. These easy listening, always loving, prosperity gospel types, flee from them, for it is not truth. It is not the gospel of Jesus Christ. Touch not, taste not, handle not. Why do you think that Paul wrote to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2 through 4? He says, "Preach the word, be instant in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears and from the truth and shall be turned unto fables." Watch out, church, because this same teaching, these same false teachers and these false doctrines are invading our own churches. But going back, Christ Jesus the Lord, he put Christ first. We kind of look over this and just scan it like, okay, that's what we call Jesus. But he was writing specifically to demolish the teaching of these false teachers, these Gnostic teachers that had invaded these churches. He put Christ first, giving him and him alone, Jesus the man, the title, this historical man, the title of Messiah, the Christ, the Savior, that him alone, that this historical person, this real man, was the Messiah. Jesus alone is the Christ. And then the Lord, it is showing his position that he is truly God in flesh, that he is the true God that has come down from heaven. Why is this so important? Why is this? Why can we read into this and it mean anything to us? Well, Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, tells us that just as in the time he was writing, as in 2019, that this man, Jesus, was the Christ, was the Messiah, the Savior from God, that he was to come as prophesied about, and he did physically, bodily come to this earth to save that which was lost. That this man, Jesus, is the only one that can bear the title Lord. That this is what Paul was trying to convey to them, to get into their heads. This is what you have received. This man, Jesus, the Messiah, Lord of all, historically, this man is him. This is the man. This is the Christ. You have received this. Believe this. Hold on to this. Listen, church, hold on to this man, Jesus. For he is the only Savior. He is the promised Messiah. And him alone was the one that came down 2,000 years ago from the glories of heaven, became a man and born of a virgin. I just have to stop here. When I wrote virgin on my paper, I wrote Virginian. So Christ was not born of a Virginian. I had to tell you that. But that he was born of a virgin, that he lived the perfect sinless life, fulfilling God's holy law, obediently and sacrificially laid down his life on the cross for the ones that he had chosen, so that his people may have forgiveness of sins, so that their sins may be blotted out, never to be brought up again. This is the man. This is the man, Christ Jesus, who it is all about. Where our renewed vision needs to rest, if we are going to continue to grow in Christ, this is where our hope lies in. This man, Jesus. This is what we have received. If you are saved and believe in Jesus, this is where your faith, your life needs to rest, needs to hope in. This man, Jesus. Second half of verse 6. So walk ye in him, walking out a Christ-centered life. living with joy unspeakable to be able to say, "Thy will be done," in all circumstances. What you have received is to mirror the image of Jesus Christ, that we all should be continually mirroring Jesus Christ, loving, merciful, gracious, long-suffering, joyful, hopeful, patient, and sound in the things of God. How many of you can say that you are all of those, much less one of those? That convicts me. If you are saved and you are called to walk it out, denying yourself daily and putting on the Lord Jesus Christ, wholeheartedly seeking after God, submitting and searching under the sovereign control of Jesus Christ. Walk ye in Him. Not walk according to what you think is best or your own will. Walk ye in Him. Romans 12, 1 and 2. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. For this is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. That's our renewed vision. We need to be transformed, not conformed to this world, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable, perfect will of God. We need a renewed vision as Christians. As Faith Baptist Church members, we need a renewed vision that this man Jesus is the Christ, that this man Jesus is the only Savior, that He is the Messiah, that He is the Creator of all, that He was to come and prophesied about and did come and die bodily and physically as a human man. This man Jesus is the one that calls sinners to repentance. And this is who it is all about. Ephesians 4, 21 through 24. If so be that ye have heard Him and have been taught by Him, as the truth is in Jesus, that ye may put off concerning the former conversation the old man which is corrupt according to deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that ye put on the new man, which after God it is created in righteousness and true holiness. We need a renewed vision. Walk ye in Him. With our renewed vision, our second point, if we're going to continue to grow in Christ, we need a resilient lifestyle. Verse 7 says, rooted and built up and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. I've got it split up in two different categories, and we'll run right through them. That if we are going to have a resilient lifestyle, we must be abiding in Christ, and we must be abounding in Christ. First one, abiding in Christ. As Christians, we are told to abide in Christ. Over in John 15, we are to rely and abide in the true vine, which is Christ Jesus. That it is Him and Him alone. That He is the life giver, the sustainer of all life, that keeps us. Where it says over there, "For without Me ye can do nothing." Without Christ, we can do nothing, church. Paul alludes here to the metaphor of us being as a tree. And oftentimes in the Bible, we are metaphorically compared to a tree. But just as a tree grows upward and outward, almost more importantly, it grows downward and inward. Without a vast and boundless root system, a tree will never stand through the changes and challenges it goes through in life. I just wanted to share this. In John Phillips' commentary, he writes, "On a mountain in California just north of Death Valley grows a gnarled and weathered, beaten bristlecone pine. It is known as Methuselah. Aptly named, it is estimated to be 4,600 years old. When David was writing his Psalms, it had been growing for 1,600 years. When Abraham was born in the Ur of the Chaldees, Methuselah was hundreds of years old and was already a hardy veteran on the earth. And if the age is correctly estimated, old Methuselah has been here since the days of the flood." Now that's just amazing to see. The picture that we have as Christians, that we are like a tree, that we can be strong, but in that, we'll get into it. A tree grows. Its actual living life, the active life that's in a tree is in its root tips, is in the tips of the roots, that they are always expanding, always digging deeper, thus expanding the trunk and the branches thereof. As a tree grows inward, therefore it will grow outward. How can we apply this to our lives if we are to stay rooted in Christ? If we are going to abide in Christ, we have to have a resilient lifestyle. If we are to be able to withstand the attacks of the devil, the evil one and all this world has to throw at us. And in our text, these false teachings and bad doctrines that are invading our churches and invading our world, we must be rooted in Christ. In this passage, that word rooted there is in the past tense, as in that at salvation is when we grow our roots. When it has already happened, that at our salvation, when we believe in Jesus Christ and take on Jesus Christ, that is when our roots are made. Just as a tree has an inward life grows, our outward life will grow. As our reliance on the life-giving soil, which is Christ, spreads deeper, it grows further, and our visible lives show Christ more clearly. The soil is Christ, the life giver, the only source of life. The roots are our inward life, our faith, our hope in eternal things, that we are to continually grow into the life-giving soil. The trunk and branches are our outward life, our visible life that this world sees. Do you realize that there are people on this earth that will never hear the preaching of the Word of God? But maybe, just maybe, you might be the only Christ that they ever see. Can you live with that? Are you representing Christ in your outward life? Do you have enough inward strength, inward wisdom? Are you embedded into the soil? Are you rooted into Christ so that your outward life will show what a Christian is, what Jesus Christ is? Without a deep-rooted life in Christ, it will be easy to fall prey to the devil. We will face challenges and we will face trials, but we have a confidence and a continuance in Jesus. That it should be, if we have that rooted in ourselves, in Jesus, then we should be indestructible to whatever may come. If we have faith and hope in Jesus Christ, we can withstand all the attacks of the devil only through Him, not by ourselves. It is not about the roots. It is about what the roots are rooted into. It is about what they abide in, where we abide in Jesus. It is not about our faith. It is who we have faith in. When our faith seems to fail us in our flesh, we have an assurance to know that no matter what, that life-giving, sustaining life, Jesus, never moves. As we keep abiding in Christ, we must be built up in Him. Our Christian lives should be rock solid. It's compared to a building here, Paul does, in the present tense. But as a building that can continually be built onto, our houses or our bodies are the temples of God, being indwelt with the Holy Spirit more and more each day. We should live as such. Not that we get more of the Holy Spirit at some times more than others. We get the same amount from the moment we're saved until the moment we die. But more and more we are conforming to the image of Christ through the Holy Spirit. Our Christian lives should be rock solid. Just as a tree has its roots in the soil, a building must have a strong foundation for it to stand, so that we can be built up upon that in Christ. We should be continually growing in the truth of His Word, the promises that He's kept, the promises that are to come, the doctrines that our faith is built on. We cannot be built up except through Christ. We should be continually studying His Word, seeking His will concerning our lives, praying earnestly in the Spirit, responsive to the call upon our walks of life, and walk as He walked. 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. 1 Peter 3:15, we all know this one. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you. And 1 John 2:6, he that saith he abideth in Christ ought himself also to walk even as he has walked. Can you say that you have a firm foundation in Christ? That you are being built up every single day in the things of God? If you say that you are abiding in Christ over here in 1 John, it says you ought also to walk even as He walked. Our foundation is Christ. For without that, our building, our spiritual lives cannot stand. And if we build anything other than on that foundation, it is sure to fall. It is sure to be destroyed. 1 Corinthians 3:11, for no foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Christ Jesus. And I love the third chapter of the book of 1 Corinthians because that is where we see what our foundation truly is, that one day our works will be made manifest. But if you look before that in verse 10, concerning that no foundation can no man lay than that which is laid in Christ Jesus, if you go back up one verse, you need to take this one to heart. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. It is not ourselves who is the builder. It is not our works. It is not our supposed merit. It is not our supposed goodness. We are Christ building. It is Him who is the true master builder. For without Him, we can do nothing. It is not your worldly wisdom. It is not your supposed knowledge. It is not necessarily your biblical wisdom that will get you any closer to God, that will elevate you into a position except from the part as Christ being the head, Christ being the foundation. 2 Timothy 2:19, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are His. A building cannot stand without a foundation. Therefore, the building in itself is nothing without that foundation. The only way we can grow as Christians and be built up in that is to have and to hold what we have received in Christ. It is to keep that close so that we can continually be built up in Him. If we have a sure footing and a solid foundation in Christ, that we know with full assurance that that foundation is unmovable, unchangeable, and always existing, that foundation is Christ, always being established, completely confirmed on the issue of what we have been taught in, that Jesus Christ is the man, that it is Him and Him alone that we are to be rooted in, that Him and Him alone is our foundation. This is the man, Jesus, that we must abide in, that we must grow in, that we must be rooted in, and that we must have faith and full assurance that He is that solid foundation in our lives. As with growing in Christ and abiding in Him, we must abound in Christ. This is living the life and a reality that His promises are true, that Him and Him alone is the way, the truth, and the life, that Him and Him alone is no way unto the Father except by Him. That is having a steadfast hope in Him, that we are to continue on no matter what may come, having a confidence in Him alone, that He is the Creator God, that He is the Sustainer God, and He will continue to preserve us into the end. Until we are either dead in the grave or we are raptured out of here, His saints will be preserved. Having a continual mindset of thanksgiving. As Christians, we should be the most thankful people on the face of this earth because we have a full assurance that God is in control. Our God, this man Jesus, is in control. Him and Him alone. That His providence in our daily lives, whether good or bad, are working out for our good. Isn't that what it says over in Romans 8:28? To further His kingdom. Jump down a couple verses into 8:31. What shall we say to these things then? If God be for us, who can be against us? Read the 8th chapter of the book of Romans sometime. That'll give you some joy. As a Christian, we should have a life full of thanksgiving, joy unspeakable and full of glory, that Christ is the man, that Christ is the one who came down in flesh and took our sins from us, that Him and Him alone we are to be rooted in, we are to be built up in, and that we are to be established, confirmed in, and that is daily being conformed to His image. Amen, hallelujah, all praise to our great God and King. Are you growing in Christ? Are you rooted in Christ? Are you saved here this morning? Can you say that your life is a picture of what this book, of what Jesus has set forth, of what a Christian should look like? Rooted. Do you have your whole being sold out for the cause of Christ that they just sang about? To that life-giving soil that we are to be rooted in, which is Jesus. Are you built up and established in Him and Him alone, daily putting on Jesus Christ and conforming to His image through through prayer and fasting and worship, daily dying to yourself and trusting in that solid foundation, knowing that you cannot build anything thereupon than that which is already laid. It is Christ who is our foundation. Are you abounding with thanksgiving? Are you trusting the truth, which is Jesus Christ and His gospel, His good news of salvation? Do you have a continual mind state of no matter what happens, what may come, you are on the winning side? I've read the book of Revelations. I know what's going to happen. Maybe not in complete detail, but I know that one day I will be in heaven. I know that my God has won the war. Be thankful for that. If you are a Christian, if you are saved here this morning, be thankful for that. Rejoice in that. Abound in thanksgiving unto our great God and King. If you are unsaved here this morning, let today be the day that you put your life, your ways, your sins aside and trust in the only one who can give life. The life giver of this life. The only one that can take your sins, not just one sin, but every sin, by placing it on the cross. Him and Him alone can take those sins, can forgive those sins, and place them on His Son, Jesus Christ. The Bible says, repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Today is a good day for salvation. Saved person here, let today be the day over any other day that you are receptive unto the calling which the Lord has called you to. We are way too stoic and we are way too stuck in our ways as Baptists that we would rather sit by and let somebody else do it. Let today be the day that you are receptive to your calling individually, personally, for what you have received in Christ Jesus. Receive that and be receptive. Apply it and teach it. Show it. Live it. Let today be that day. Are you growing? Are you abiding? Are you trusting in Jesus Christ alone? In closing, we will all stand before God one day and give an account for our lives and what we have done here on this earth. Every one of us in this building will stand before God and give an account for our lives. How will you be found? Will you be found lacking without Christ? Without Christ covering your life, covering your sins, will you be found lacking? Or will you be found rooted in Him? That Him and Him alone is your Savior. That Him and Him alone, nothing of yourself, is what got you there. That you have put on Jesus Christ and believe and fully trust in Him and Him alone. Are you rooted in Christ? Today's a great day to get it right. A great day to believe. A great day to repent. A great day to change this vile life that we live, to be rooted in Christ, to be built up in Him, daily growing, daily conforming to the image of Christ. As we walk out of these doors, as we go play these games, know what we are doing it for. We are doing it for the glory of God. Have that attitude today. Are you rooted in Christ? Today's a great day to get it right. That's all I've got. Let us pray.